You made it. It's the last session of the last meeting, and thank you for being here. Really enjoyable to work with Uncle Sandy and Paul and all you believers. The fellowship has been enjoyable and sweet, and it's been a good time together. We acknowledge that, and we thank God for His goodness. We're going to be reading now in Colossians, again, chapter 1. So back in chapter 1, Colossians 1, and verse 14. A very beautiful verse in Scripture. And it says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." The subject of redemption is the storyline of the Bible. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, it is basically on every single page. Let me sum it up in just three thoughts. One, we were created by God in perfect wholeness for relationship. We sinned against God, cutting us off from the closeness that God intended for us with Himself. We need redeeming back to God. And death was required to bring us back. Created by God, sinned against God, redeemed by God. Now, redemption is, it's basically a cool word for salvation with the emphasis on freedom. So it's salvation with the emphasis on freedom. Now, this text that we have read, 12 words, and what I want to do is just go through the text. And there's four thoughts that I want to kind of highlight that will, I believe, help us in our understanding of what the gospel is. And first of all, we have those two words that begin the text, in whom? In whom? And I write over those two words, a person for you to know. A person for you to know. When Paul says in whom, he is referring to the person mentioned in the previous verse, God's beloved Son. The Bible refers to him as Jesus or Christ or the Lord Jesus Christ or Jesus Christ or that's his name. The Son, the beloved Son of God. And my question is, in whom? Okay, this is a person for you to know. Do you know him? Do you know him? I was standing at the corner of a busy corner, actually, not far from our home, at Steeles and Young. A lot of traffic and a lot of pedestrians coming and going. And so I was just standing at the corner and casually giving out some Bible literature. And I decided to do a survey and ask the question that Jesus asked his disciples in Luke chapter 9. Who do you think I am? So my question was, who do you think Jesus is? This is at the corner of Steeles and Young, very busy intersection in the northern corner, one of the northern corners of Toronto. An older lady said, "We are supposed to believe he is the Savior and all that stuff, but I don't know." A teenage girl. "Who do you think Jesus is?" "He is the Savior." A middle-aged man, around my age, said, "He is God." I was like, wow. Another man, he says, "It's a hard question. Nobody can really know." An older man said, "He is the Son of God. I am a Christian." And he ran. He had to catch the bus. The bus was just stopped and I didn't have time to talk to him. But you know, that's a good sampling. I didn't give you all the answers of the people who answered, but I was actually quite surprised that in a city that's so multicultural and so diverse, and I would have thought there would have been a lot less of an understanding of who Jesus is. But the question remains today for you in this little gathering here. Do you know him? Do you know him? Now, I could tell you from Colossians a number of things that about the Lord Jesus. We already talked about in chapter 1 here where he is referred to as the beloved Son of the Father. You go to verse 16, we learn that he is the creator of the universe. You go to chapter 2 and verse 9, and you learn that this person, he became a man, and the fullness of God dwells in him. Fully God and fully man. Now that's a mystery. That's hard for us to even try to understand, but that's what Scripture says. Chapter 2, verse 14, he is the Savior. He is the Savior of the world. So it is important for us to remember that redemption, that salvation is not a religion. It is not adhering to a code of rules and regulations. It is not trying to do your best and to present your best version possible to God. Salvation is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This relationship cannot be established until sin has been dealt with. And that's why we need the cross. Knowing about him is not the same as knowing him. To know him is to love him. And to know him is to trust him. And this is life eternal. That you know that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Actually, that's not exactly what the Lord Jesus said, so I'm going to have to look at it. It just slipped my mind as fast as that. The Lord Jesus was praying to his Father, and he said, "And this is life eternal, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So it's not so much knowing all of the facts, knowing all of the details, knowing all about, I'm sure anyone here could give many, many details about the Lord Jesus, about his death, but it is to know him is to trust him, is to put your confidence in him. So, in whom? In whom? A person for you to know. Secondly, a possession for you to own. What do you have that you can call your own? Will it have a will it have any value in 20 years? I mean, that nice car that you have out there, probably in 20 years is just going to be a pile of rust. Can you guarantee that you will even have it? Or even want it in 20 years? You'll probably want a new car in 2 years. At best, your possessions are valued in dollars and cents. They are temporary and could be lost or stolen. You may have some kind of family heirloom or something that is priceless to you, but if you lost your job and you needed food, you'd probably auction it off to get some money. Salvation, redemption, cannot be valued in dollars and cents. Its value is inestimable. The psalmist says that the salvation or the redemption of the soul, it is precious. It is a gift. It is a gift for you to accept. Now, I remember, you already know, I grew up in Red Bay, Labrador. I think I've said that a number of times. Well, as a child, growing up in Red Bay, just a little fishing village of about 300 people, I mean, there were no malls and no plazas, just one general store, and there wasn't much in there. They had, I don't know, carnation milk and salt meat and salt fish and a few other things, but not too much. And so I remember every fall we got the Sears catalog. It came in the mail. Sears catalog. And I loved it because, you start going through the catalog and you come to the toy section. And I'd get out a little red marker and I would start going through the toy section and, no, I don't want that. And oh, wow, there's something I like. And I'd put a circle around it. And if it was something I really, really wanted, I'd fold the page and I'd circle it and put some arrows towards it and a few stars and hoping that mom would pick up the catalog and see, this is what Brian wants for Christmas. I remember one year I got a remote control car. It was pretty nice. And we had to put batteries in it, and I used that remote control car for 2 days nonstop, basically, from morning till night. And then it broke. It broke. Just, it stopped working. And we had to send it back. It was a gift. But it didn't last. It didn't have the value and the worth that would last through years of use. I think of the words of the Lord Jesus as he spoke to the woman at the well, and Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." This redemption is for you, and it is a gift, a possession for you to own. Because it says, in whom we have. That I forgot to just highlight those two words. So in whom, that's a person for you to know. In whom we have. That's a possession for you to own. It's not something that you hope to have. It's not something that maybe you'll have. You have. It's definite. It's a possession for you to own. Thirdly, we see in this, which brings us right to the subject of redemption, a payment for you to accept. And this brings us to the actual meaning of the word. If you look up the word in a Greek dictionary, Greek English dictionary, you will find that it means to release someone by the price of a ransom. To release someone by price of a ransom. So we need to talk about some serious things like sin. Because sin has bound us. The Lord Jesus said, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. So it has the quality of bondage, of cruel captivity, like chains or prison bars that keep a person from knowing and enjoying and experiencing God. Sin is what you need to be redeemed from. Every single one of us, we need redemption from sin. I took my granddaughter, Elena, to the park the other day. And we had a great time at the park. She loves going to the park. And we did all the rounds, the slide and the climbing thing and the swing. She's only 2.5. She wants to be on the grown-up swing now. Hold on. She doesn't want the little baby swing where you have to lift her in. So it's a bit nerve-wracking, and she wants to go high. So, you know, it's Grandpa doesn't want her to fall on his watch. But anyway, we went through it all. And then she got on this, this spin-around thing that just makes you nauseous, basically. And you just go around and around. And anyway, she was loving this. So, but it was almost supper time. So I said to her, Elena, we have to go in 2 minutes. So she didn't hear me at all. It's just in one ear, out the other. So, Elena, we have to go in 1 minute. We have to leave the park. No, just not, didn't even pay attention to anything I was saying as she's just going around. And finally, we get down to, okay, Elena, it's time to go. It's time to go. And again, she doesn't want to hear me. She hears me, but she doesn't want to hear me. And she keeps going around. So finally, I stop the thing. And now we're in full-on conflict. And it's a temper tantrum, full blown, okay. And finally, I get her settled down, and I say to her, Elena, are you disobeying Papa, or are you obeying Papa? And without a hesitation, without a second breath, she says, I'm disobeying Papa. 2.5 years old. And I'm like, she knows exactly what she's doing. She understands. Where did that come from? But the reality is, that's right in our very nature. We are sinners before God. Now, I did eventually get her off, and we got going down the road, and she cried for half the way home. But anyway, we dealt with it, right? But it just was a reminder to me how the heart is so captive and controlled by sin, even at an age of 2.5, a payment for you to accept. The ransom, you see, what we learn from the scriptures, what God has told us in the scriptures, is that the ransom price for the release of the sinner, the ransom price for us to be delivered from our sins, to be set free from our sins, to be redeemed from our sins, has been paid. And that's what it says here, in whom we have redemption through His blood. The ransom is the cross, the death of Christ, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. That is why the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness of sins. To receive freedom or redemption from sin's bondage, one must receive for themselves that ransom price. So I guess I'm just bringing the session to a halt again for a question. Have you received the ransom price? Have you accepted this price that was paid? I was, it's an old illustration, and I may have shared it here in Augusta, I don't know, but I like it anyway. About this man by the name of A.J. Gordon. You've probably heard about him, the pastor from a church in Boston. And after one of his services, he met a young boy. And the boy had a little cage, and in this cage he had two birds. And the pastor saw him with this cage and two birds, and he got into conversation with the guy, the lad, and he said, "What do you got those for?" And oh, he said, "I just caught those birds," and the pastor said, "Well, what are you going to do with them?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to play with them for a little while, and then I'm going to feed them to my cat." It kind of related to me because growing up, we used to catch little birds, and we'd have a net. You know, a fisherman's net and a kind of a little wooden rim around it. And we'd have a stick holding the net up and with a line going back about 100 feet, like to the corner, around the corner of the house. And we'd put some seeds down under the net. And the birds would just come under the net. We'd pull the cord and down. Now, we didn't feed them to the cat, okay? What we did was we tied a little ribbon around their one of their legs with the hopes of catching it the second time. That was kind of our little game. We never did. Never got the same bird twice. But this guy, I mean, he was going to feed it to his cats. And so the pastor said, "Well, can I buy them off you? I'll give you $2 for the cage and the birds." And the young guy, he was so delighted. He said, "Well, they're not even worth $2. He said, "They're not even songsters. They can't even sing." And so the exchange was made. You know what the pastor did, right? He went out, got the cage, went out behind the church, and he opened the door, and the two birds, they just flew off into the sky. And the next Sunday, the pastor, he set the cage on the platform, and it was his message for next Sunday, and he said, "You know, that boy, he said those birds were not songsters, but I'm pretty sure when I let them go, I heard redeemed, redeemed, redeemed." Set free, delivered. The price was paid for their deliverance. And, you know, that's the wonder of the gospel. And we as believers, and if there's anyone here who has never had accepted the ransom for yourself, this is the wonder of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus, he paid the price for us upon the cross. Now, I said 4 points, and the last one is, yes, there is a pardon. There is a pardon for you to enjoy. in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. The reality is that you and I, we have sinned against God. We have disobeyed His laws. We have rejected His Son. These are the things that we have done, that you have done. The gospel says that God is ready. God is ready to forgive you. That's what He did for that thief on the cross. God is ready to hand you the pardon. God is ready to cancel the debt that you owe. God is ready to pronounce over you the forgiveness of sins. How would you like to be forgiven? How would you like to know that? To experience that? To enjoy that? For me, June 27th, 1981. Young boy of 14. My mom sitting beside me, wanting to be saved, struggling with how to figure it all out. I just couldn't seem to grasp the simplicity of it. My eyes were dark. I knew the gospel. I heard the gospel time after time after time. And yet I sat there in frustration. And my mom got me to read 1 John 1 and 7. In fact, she just got me to read a little section of that verse, which says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." And that night, I just understood and I accepted for myself that His blood was shed for me. He died for me. And I enjoy this pardon, the forgiveness of sins. And I hope every single person in this gathering will enjoy the same. Why don't we pray?